Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, broadcasting live here in Columbus, Ohio. Today is kind of an exciting day for a lot of Ohioans and probably for a bunch of people from Oregon as well. Today is a big national championship football game for some of those, for those of you who care, let's put it this way. I care because I'm a Buckeye transplanted from Peru, but you come to the appreciation of hard work of these young athletes and the things they do and their families and the things they sacrifice. Not everybody gets to this point. Not everybody gets to this level or this tier. There's thousands and thousands of colleges in the United States, and you know, there's a quality few that just seem to be in the picture, always seem to be at that right spot, that right place. And so, you know, Ohio State is fortunate enough to be one of those schools, and so is the University of Oregon, two very powerhouse footballs right now in our time and age. Both of them have great coaches. Urban Meyer is our coach, you know, for those of you who are Buckeye fans, and for those of you who are not, no problem, no sweat. But here's the thing. These two programs, you know, both have losses. They both have had interesting season. Different things have gone on in their season where, you know, they pin them against certain situations. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. If you follow sports, if you know anything about sports, it could be a good feel, a good positive thing, or it could be a really frustrating thing watching sports play out and how people abuse the system and how things play into a corrupt way of form. A lot of people complain about, you know, the student athlete should be paid and, you know, should be compensated for, you know, the time and effort that they put into money. There is some validity to that. There is going to be a lot of money made. A lot of money is going to be made this evening. Then, you know, being on who's going to score the first touchdown, who's going to win the coin flip, you know, what commercial comes on first. There's going to be it's just crazy to even think about that kind of thing has happened in sports. But there's going to be millions and millions, billions, if not millions of dollars going to be made off of these kids. These kids, you know, sacrifice their athletic ability in order to make profit for these universities, make profits for, you know, casinos, make profits, you know, even for the cable company. I sat here and I thought about it. This game's on ESPN. If you don't have cable and you live in a rural area, you kind of have to watch it at somebody else's house who has cable. I have friends who have actually, you know, what they have actually done is they actually had they rented a hotel room for the evening, you know, with their friends and spouses to watch the game. So there is some kind of aspect where, you know, there's things producing and there's things coming through this and there's money being made. So I find it really cool and really interesting to see, you know, how athletics and sports and how much we put into it, into athletics. If we were able to just put that much effort into life itself and the things that we do every day and the things that are more important than sports. Sports are important. Don't get me wrong. They're entertaining and they keep you healthy and stuff. But there's other things. There's things in life that are very important. We have a lot of people who struggle, who have no food, no place to eat, nothing to do, and they're looking for, you know, for help. And so we're here working hard, you know, throughout the world. And there's a special group of people who go out there and they do their best they can. I just ask you, let's send a prayer out to both these teams that no one gets hurt and that everything works out right, and that things, that debts are paid, that people, you know, don't make, you know, ill mistakes and sharing and spending money that they don't have, because it could be kind of one of those things. It's a catch 22. I have nothing against sports. I love it. Love sports. I'm a big Buckeye fan, but I just wanted to share that with you. And I thought that was kind of a interesting way to look at it, and to look at sports as, you know, hey, these kids are being used to some degree, you know, actually to a big degree, in my opinion, to make money. Now, do they understand that? Yeah, of course they do. They get their scholarships paid, you know, the school pays for their food and stuff. But, you know, it creates a system that is kind of unjust and unfair and unbalanced. And I find that when you put kids in certain situations, they'll respond according to, you know, what's happening in their lives. And, you know, a lot of these boys, a lot of these kids, They don't come from a very good background. They come from a very tight disadvantaged programs of high schools and parts of the country. But then on the other half, there's other kids who come from very good schools as well. So you put a mix of all these kids together and you try to work them together. I, as a coach, understand this philosophy because that's what I do with people, and I do that with actually soccer teams, to bring different ideals and to bring different philosophies and to bring different upbringings together and forming it and working it like clay and making it something very special. And I think these coaches for Oregon, both these coaches have worked really hard, and the coach for Ohio State and his staff have also worked very hard to motivate and to program these kids and get them to the point where they, for them to come together and work as one. So I wish both the teams the best. I hope they do well. I mean, I'm going to push for my Buckeyes, of course, because that's where I'm at. I'm in the state of Ohio, and, I'm a big Buckeye fan. But anybody who knows me. So enjoy the game. And it's just a game, guys. It's just a game. It's one of those things just to enjoy. Once it's over, it's done. It's in the history books. Never repeat. It'll never be the same. It'll be that special moment. Life brings special moments. Even though this game is a very unique situation, it brings people together too. I also see the positive side. It brings people together. It brings families together. It brings situations together. It creates things where people can work together. So, which kind of brings us into the show that we're going to play here. It's a rerun show. It's a past show of a friend of mine, Reba Riley, who's writing a book, and her book is a pretty amazing book, and I don't want to give it all away. I want you to listen to the show. So it's a post-traumatic church syndrome, okay? So it's about that. That's the name of her book. It's coming out on April 1st. We're going to actually do a live interview with her later on, closer to her book, deal when it's complete. It's going to be published. It's published, and when it's going to come out to the stores and when she's on tour with her book. But this is like 2 years later, 2 years prior to. Okay, so actually almost 3 years. So this is her version where she was at that moment and what she was sharing and what she was expressing, what she was feeling, and what was going on in her mind. This episode, I believe, was recorded, if I'm not mistaken. It was recorded, let me see, put it on my phone. It was recorded back in April 23rd of 2012. Okay, back then it was a 30 by 30, 365 day, 30 places of worship. She actually went to 30 different places of worship and was trying to find her faith and trying to find her, where she fit in, how things were in her life and how she was going to do. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want you guys to listen to as best as you can. This is a pre-recorded show, so there probably won't be any readings tonight unless I come back on later and we have time. I've opened a window of 2 hours, so in case I do decide to, jump on real quick and ask you and ask her how you like the show, that could happen. But I want you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is a time for you to just think about things. And I thought this was an appropriate time to bring this segment up, since she and I spoke the other day and we talked about her show she did and where she was and how she's moved through. I've seen a lot of growth in her, and I've seen a lot of growth in myself in that meantime, in that planning. So, the call numbers will be off, so you won't be able to call in. You'll be able to call in and just listen to the show. So I want you guys to sit back, enjoy, relax. And I'm going to go watch the Buckeye game with my family. And I'm just going to take the day off. Katie and David have taken the day off as well, because we're just too stoked to talk about anything at the moment. It's kind of what happens when you're in this environment, in this college town environment. So with no further ado, I would like to introduce my friend, Reba Riley. And in a past show where we had a good time talking. I'll talk to you guys later. Enjoy your week. And here comes the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about Within Sights. All our friends on this show have something to share and something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I'm flying solo today. Rosa has the day off. She took a John McMullen class with Journeys of Wisdom, so she'll probably report back to us next week what she experienced and what she went through. But today we have a special guest on. We'll bring her on here shortly. Her name is Rebecca Riley. Her friends call her Reba.
Reba.
So we'll bring her on time here. I just wanted to kind of tell everybody what the format's going to be today. We will do 90 minutes today. Reba may not be with us for 9 minutes, but we will give readings after the interview, so stick around for that. But just wanted to touch base with you and let you know the different things that are going on here with Insights Radio. Every day we're adding new features and new shows to our broadcast, so you know, stick tuned, stick around. And like I said, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at iggygarcia.com, and I'm also at facebook.com/iggygarcia if you want to something in the chat room there, and just hang on with us. We're going to have a good time today. Today's going to be a really interesting show. I mean, we've had all kinds of different guests from metaphysicals, holistic, Indian practitioners, shamans, but I don't think we've ever had this type of topic. I think it's going to be very interesting, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's kind of interesting. It's really it's something kind of goes along my belief system a little bit, something that, you know, where a lot of people have this desire to do things and explore outside, you know, or maybe run away from their families and discover their spirituality. But looks like Reba has found a way to do this and believe she's writing a book here. So let's bring her on here to the show. Reba Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Iggy. Hello, everybody.
And we're here live with Reba, and she's actually going to be authoring a book called 30 by 30. Is that correct?
30 by 30.
Okay.
It's 365 days, 30 religions, and one chance to find faith. That faith would be mine.
Right. And which I thought was pretty interesting, because when you talked to me about this briefly, I was kind of curious, because 365 and how many, you know, religions you're going to... You have a list. I'm at your website right now, and I'm looking at it. It's just to go to before 30th birthday. So I take it you were trying to accomplish this before you turn 30.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was sort of an impetus turning 29, knowing that 30 was coming. That really started it out for
mm-hmm.
me. And the project didn't start out as a book or a blog or anything like that. It started out as a spiritual journey for me. It's kind of morphed into those things. But, yeah, it was to figure out my own faith before I turned 30.
Okay.
Big birthday, so.
Okay, so, all right, cool. So what was your faith prior to this journey that you took on?
I was an evangelical poster child for
okay.
my entire life.
All right.
And for anyone who doesn't know, that would be a Protestant, but of the very fundamentalist variety.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very serious about our faith, our family faith. Values, and that's what I grew up
okay.
in. I was very, very into it, very serious about it, and I actually was going to go into the ministry within that frame. And then, so that was prior to being about 21, and then between
okay.
21 and 29, I threw all that out the window.
So
had no faith.
There was no faith. You had there
well,
was a gap.
I shouldn't say that. It's not that I didn't have any faith at all, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't have any way to experience it. My belief system prior told me that the only way that I could experience God, faith, the divine, was through a very narrow channel and theology of which I didn't believe in. So therefore, I didn't think that I had any way to reach God.
Hmm. Okay. So what happened? One day you just wake up and say you wanted to explore all these different avenues?
well, kind of. What happened is I had been sort of exploring spirituality more in my own reading, you know, kind of different things. But I realized, and it really was right around when I turned 29, I'm allowing people who probably wouldn't even remember my name and theology that, you know, whatever, I don't like it, to control my life, to control whether or not
mm-hmm.
I have a relationship with God and how I pursue it. And so I kind of, you know, I thought about that for several weeks, and then I thought, well, you know, I could do spiritual shock therapy, which is basically what I did. Because at that point, when I started, I literally couldn't go into a church. I would freak out.
Really?
I call it post-traumatic church syndrome.
Okay.
And
yeah.
it's not a joke. There's lots
yeah,
of people who have
website,
it.
Yeah, I see that on your website,
yes. There's lots of people who have it. So.
So those of you who want to follow us along on, you know, this journey that we're on right now tonight, you can go to the website is 30by30.com, and you can kind of keep up with us, keep up with pace, where we're going.
It's kind of interesting because I see this huge list, okay, and it says to go to. I don't know if it's in any particular order that started. You have Buddhist, Amish, you know, White Baptist, Native American, you know, Kabbalah. There's a few that haven't been checked off, so I don't know if that's not been completed yet. But
it's the list is not up to date, unfortunately. Okay. I rely on my computer programmer for that. He's a little slow.
Okay. Well, we'll forgive him for
this. It's almost up to date.
Right. Well, share with us what's on your heart, what you want to share today, what you want to get across to our listeners. There's a lot of people out here who are probably in the same boat that you are. You know, they're probably, there's a crossroads, there's a fork in the road where they're going, wow, I wish I could go this way or maybe this way, or you know what, I just want to do away with everything. You can take it from that point.
The first thing I'd like to say to them is you can do it. That's the biggest thing I could possibly get across to anyone who is sitting there thinking about exploring spirituality or you've been hurt by some type of spirituality. You can do it. You can get outside of yourself. You can have a spiritual pilgrimage, and you do not have to quit your job or your life or your family to do so.
Mm-hmm.
If you open your heart, God is right there. The divine is right there. Right there in your own backyard.
Yeah, I'm sure you had some really interesting experiences on this magical journey.
Yes, I certainly did.
I don't know if I would be brave enough to do this personally. But
oh my goodness! Yes, people have said, you know, they kind of say that it was brave, and I say that the heroic part of it wasn't trying out new things. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
The brave part and what I really needed strength for was going back in to what had hurt me
mm-hmm.
and to have that be healed. It's kind of like the difference between going out on a blind date with somebody you don't know. You're nervous, but you know, it's not so bad. Going out with an old boyfriend who really hurt you, that's hard.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, part of the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm also reading here you have a spiritual boot camp to go through. You call this, so it's a boot camp per se.
It goes along with what I said about the spiritual shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who doesn't know, shock therapy is, you know, something that you do in psychology for trauma. And the boot camp part of it is something that I called it, also sort of another name. But I ended up in a physical boot camp. I was trying to get in shape. And this physical boot camp, which is, you know, every morning we're getting up, we were running, push-ups, all that jazz, it actually got changed, the location, from a gym to a church. This is right in the middle of this whole thing. And I ended up having to go to a church to work out every morning.
Wow.
And I just thought it was so funny because I've been telling people all along, oh, I'm putting myself through the spiritual boot camp. And all of a sudden, my physical boot camp becomes a spiritual boot camp
sure.
in that I'm in the church. And
absolutely.
It really was a big time of discovery, self-discovery, both physical and spiritual.
But what was the biggest thing that you noticed going on this journey about all these different religions that you were, of course, you were kind of looking from the outside in and then
right.
kind of feeling in. So what was the biggest and the biggest contrast as well from all these different religions?
The contrast? Well, actually, I would have to say this. The first thing is we're much more alike than we are different.
Okay.
The contrast is much less in the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the contrast is huge in how you practice,
right.
how you practice your faith, you know, how you use water, fire, don't, or what you cover when to go to church, your head, or you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, some places you don't even really have to be wearing a shirt. So those practices can be completely different.
Right.
But what's the same is the people and
people.
Their faith.
Okay. So you believe that the faith, the word faith is, I find that a very interesting word.
It's a very large word.
it's a big word.
It's a very big word.
You know, it's just a few little letters, but it has a lot of power associated with it. You know, I mean.
And it can put you in a prison if you think that you can't, if you think
oh,
you can't attain it.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because some of us go by blind faith, and some of us just go by faith alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know. How did you go into this journey? Did you go with a blind faith, or did you just go with faith that everything was going to be okay?
I went in
for me,
with fear and trepidation. Fear and trepidation. I don't know. That's a good question. I guess I wouldn't have done it if I didn't believe on some level that I would be able to find something.
Mm-hmm.
but I had no idea what that was. And I've been through blind faith. You do that in fundamentalism. You have to put blind faith into everything.
Right.
So no, not blind. But can we talk about the word faith for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is your interview.
Okay, because it's interesting. I was writing about faith today. And when I was in that spiritual boot camp, like I say, it was a physical boot camp, don't get me wrong, but we were in the sanctuary of this non-denominational church, sort of like a warehouse. We're running labs, we're doing push-ups, all that stuff. And I'm questioning faith at the time, about 6 months in the church. And I really didn't like this church. I visited it, and I really didn't like it. We'll keep it nameless. But I'm running up and down, and I see that they put this table up. And there was a picture of a little girl in their congregation who had cancer. And they were doing how can we help this family? You know, what can you sign up for? Can you get money? And so on. So I stopped and laughed. And I looked at it, and I realized, I don't like this church, but it doesn't matter because this is their faith. This is their faith in action. And what I realized is, for me at least, faith is love in action. That's what's really important. Yes, it's a belief in hard times. It's something we hold on to in hard times. Yes. But really, what faith is, how you see it. We talk about it being the essence of the unseen. It is, because if you bring the unseen into reality, if you're doing that love in action, you're expressing the faith for the community, that's faith. And this is a huge thing for me to realize, that maybe faith is something more than just something, kind of misty. Mm-hmm. It really can be real.
So what I'm hearing echo back to you, they believe that just the people themselves believing in what they are in is just as powerful as believing in something that's not there.
Oh, absolutely. And the action, I guess, is what I'm talking about. It's like, you could be standing on a diving board, and mm-hmm. you've got this potential here. And then you take that leap, and we talk about leaps of faith. But once you actually make that action, that's when you show your faith.
Right.
And I love the Bible verse about faith being the essence of things unseen, evidence of things hoped for. And instead of it just being some big concept, what about it being this community helping this family? That is faith. It's love in action.
Right. So I'm just curious. So what was probably the strangest situation you found yourself in visiting one of these different denominations, these different belief systems?
The strangest one by far is I found myself in a very small room with a gentleman that I would probably have crossed the street to avoid touching my bare feet to give mm-hmm. me some Reiki treatment. But I didn't know this guy, and it was part of a spiritual forum, and I actually was a little afraid of the whole thing, and somehow I find myself, barefoot laying on a table, and this guy is getting ready to touch my feet. And at that point, I was like, this is just a little strange, but all for good cause.
Awesome. So what was probably one of the most high-powered, energetic places that you visited on your journey here? There's quite a big list here, so something that was really exciting to you.
The African American Baptist.
I kind of had a feeling you're going to say that. I don't know why. It kind of just hit my eyes.
They are, I got a little hate mail about the fact that I separated that list and I said, white Baptist, black Baptist. Listen, that's just the way it is in the world. There mm-hmm. are some historically black churches.
Sure, absolutely.
That's just the way it is. And it's a very different experience than a historically white church.
Mm-hmm.
Very. The black Baptist, incredible energy. There's nothing like it. And if you feel bad about yourself, I challenge you to go to a service mm-hmm. and leave feeling worse. There's no way. You'll leave feeling better because of
the energy
of the music and just the people themselves are so excited to be there. So, but I don't know. The Sweat Lodge was pretty close. Just a very different experience.
I wasn't asking. I was just curious, because it's always neat to just try to pick your brain a little bit, since you actually had this experience and you're trying to, express them through your writing,
right?
And I read some of the things that you've listed here, and then it's just interesting because you're on this magical journey. It sounds like you're alone, but you're really not, because you're on it with all these people that you meet,
right?
And then you get to share it with your family and bring it back to the people you know. So it's pretty exciting. I don't know if maybe we're all going to kind of live through you on this journey and kind of read through your eyes what you're seeing, you know. But it's pretty cool to see that you are actually stepping out of your own comfort zone.
Oh, yes.
You know, because this is difficult, you know, to actually maybe to call up a church and say, hey, you know, or a mosque or, you know, or a Native American group and say, hey, you know what, I want to visit you. Some people may not take it.
Yes.
Take it well.
It's absolutely, it is a challenge. And I would say the time I was the most fearful, and I should back up and say fearful when I mean that, it's typically I'm afraid that the people that I'm visiting are going to think that I am a tourist or I'm making fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm, you know, it's like I don't want to disturb their sacred time. So I get really, really nervous about that. And when I was outside of the Hindu temple for the first time, I was already dressed. I had a full dress on, beautiful, expensive sari. I'm ready. And then I saw everyone was wearing street clothes that was going into the temple. And I was like, oh, no. You know, this is my prime territory of thinking that they're going to think that I'm just so off and I don't know what's going on.
Right, right. I see that.
Oh, it was so. And I was like, well, I'm here. I'm dressed. Let's do it, right?
Sure.
Well, it turns out there were people inside that were wearing the same type of getup, and as the evening wore on, there was a lot more of that. So sometimes you just have to walk through the scares. That's for sure.
Yeah, I bet it was kind of difficult at times, just you know, not knowing the protocols and stuff. Did they ever give you? Did they ever like warn you ahead of time or say, hey, well, we want you to be like this or dressed like that, or say, or you know, just any parameters on you at all?
No, in fact, typically I wouldn't get much response. I would call and say, this is what I'm doing. And very rarely would somebody be like, oh, let's send somebody to help you. Let's tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of like, yeah, show up at 9 o'clock. We'll be here.
Right.
I got a little better at figuring it out as I went along about how to approach them with it, and it changed a bit. But no, I didn't really ever get any, this is how to dress.
All right.
I really had to probe.
Because I know it took you 9 months to get a hold of me, I think. Or something along that line.
It's 9 months. But I wasn't ready to meet you yet.
Well, yeah, the spirit wasn't ready.
Right, exactly.
The spirit wanted you to visit all those other things first before you ended up with us.
Absolutely.
So that was good. We do have a question on the chat here. Andrew is asking. Andrew says, do you think it's time to redefine the English word church to reflect a larger cultural base?
Yeah, if we could get it in the dictionary. the thing about words is that they mean different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
I say church to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what your, you know, thought is in your mind. I say church to Andrew. What is his thought?
Right.
You know, I say church to myself, and I think of the church that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how we would redefine that, but in my mind, yes, I think church should be much more inclusive than it is. It doesn't mean a Christian chapel.
Right.
And I think a lot of the general feeling would probably be around that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think when you say church, people get this vision in their mind of what it's supposed to be like. I get a vision about church. I get two visions. I get the building vision, then I also get the vision of outside and the things around me.
Yeah.
So, but that's because I've been exposed to that.
Right.
But if I would have to be someone who doesn't know the Native American ways and stuff, I would probably say, hey, yeah, well, you know, whatever, wherever I was, you know, reared or brought up,
yeah,
in whatever institution or whatever faith I was in, that's probably the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, general consensus, if we were to take it, is probably the building of a church.
Me personally, church is the people.
I was just going to say that. And, you know, we were talking about people earlier,
mm-hmm,
in general and what's the same, and it's faith and it's that community. And
right.
I would say my vision personally has shifted of church to community of people getting,
mm-hmm,
together, right,
sure,
supporting one another and seeking the divine, period.
Right.
If they do that in a building, sure. If they do it out here in your backyard, great. Wherever it works for you. Does that answer his question?
I believe so. Andrew will probably type in something at some point. And he put NP, so I don't know what that means. It could be, I'm not sure, Andrew, I don't speak NP. Maybe type it out, but yeah, I think he did got something from it, but I totally understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from, and church is it's a loaded, it's kind of like a loaded gun, you know, for some people. Some people really, it turns them off. You know, so I'm going to church. Anderson, yes.
Okay.
I think that happens to a lot of people because the first thing they think about is, oh, okay, well, here's the Christian way of doing things.
Right.
you know.
Well, they say church and they think of this, you know, a lot of people think of this very rigid set of beliefs that can't be crossed, right? And that's not, as we're discussing, what a church really is.
Right. And I also get groups of people who are like, oh, you spend too much time in your church. You know, you give too much for your church. Oh, they're just taken from you. So I hear it all. Trust me.
Oh,
that's
I'm
the
sure.
position I'm in. I mean, some people for them are church is a connotation of, you know, someone taking advantage of
on
other
the
people.
Take.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, anywhere there's a community of people, there's going to be good and there's going to be bad.
Right, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I don't mean when I say post-traumatic church syndrome, I think people could have that from. Probably anything. It could be post-traumatic temple syndrome.
Yeah.
For me, it was church syndrome.
Very good, very good. So have you accomplished your mission yet, or are you still going to... Is it ongoing?
Well, as far as the original goal, which is 30 visits, I did that on Easter. I crossed that off.
Okay.
Accidentally, it was on Easter, which was kind of cool. But as it turns out, you learn a lot going through it, and I realized that I was real heavy on the Christian churches at the beginning,
right.
And as I went through, I realized I really need to expand this, so I'm going to end up probably going somewhere around 38, maybe 40.
Okay.
But yes and no. Yes, we're finished with the, we can check the box off, but no, the journey will never be done.
So let me ask you a question. Have you decided on a church that you're going to be more affiliated with, or a group of people that you're going to be affiliated with, or groups of people, or different aspects? Do you find that it's just not going to be one?
Well, yes, it is just not going to be one. But to back up, I probably should say this. I didn't start this to find a group.
Mm-hmm.
I started it to figure out myself, to heal the pain that was inside of me. I really didn't think I would ever find a place where I fit in, a church, per se, or anything. And what I have found is there are multiple places where I can fit. And actually, I have found a church, to use the catchphrase, but it's a community of very open-minded people, fully inclusive, and it's about faith and action. So I have chosen that, but there's going to be a lot added to that, Amy.
Yeah. I mean, the list can go on and on and on, but that's cool. So you also have on your list here, look for truth. What does truth mean to you? I mean, explain to me a little bit on that.
Okay. Truth to me, when I wrote that, look for truth, I had no idea. The idea was, you know, I grew up with these truths. Everything was either true or false in my childhood with my religion. True or false, black or white, no question about it. When I broke away from that, I realized I didn't believe those things that were supposedly true. When I came back to this journey, I wanted to find truth, and I really didn't know, you know, what is it? What is it that I'm looking for? And as I went through it, what I realized is the truth, let's put an S there, they're sort of like golden threads that are running through the traditions of all of these different religions and non-religions. You know, I've spoken with many atheists and that type of thing. There are some universal truths that are, do you know what I'm saying, about like this golden type of thread that they really do weave through. And so I see that as truth. There are some that are universal. So, yeah, I would say I've found it for myself.
Did you ever find yourself being challenged?
Only every day.
I mean, really, I mean, when you think about it, when you're sitting in someone else's belief system, another way of life, and then you have your own mind saying, oh, wow, you know, you're listening to these words. I mean, how did you go about that? I mean, how did you sit there and go, wow, well, I don't agree with this or disagree with this? Or were you just no judgment, or did you just try to be an open vessel for that?
I'd love to say that I went in with no judgment.
Okay, well, we left off. I was kind of asking you about the judgment factor.
Oh, right, exactly, the judgment. Everybody comes into things with judgments, whether they know it or not. when I was sitting in, you know how I kind of went back to that analogy of saying that the old boyfriend versus the blind date?
Mm-hmm.
When I was hanging out with old boyfriend, and for me that is a charismatic type of non-denominational church, heavy on the praise band and all that jazz, I would just cringe. I mean, at the beginning of this, I couldn't even really handle it. Like, I was just, you can see it in my face probably right now. I'm just, you know, it was, and so that really was hard for me, and it still is. What's still hard for me is anyone who is very fundamental about whatever it is they believe. If it's the only thing, if their truth is the only truth, I had a really hard time with that. And that's something I still am trying to work on for myself.
Yeah, I was curious about that. You know,
that's hard.
The fundamental aspect of someone's belief.
Yeah.
That your belief is not correct and theirs is.
Right. And there are, that's anywhere. I mean, we talk about, you know, we're familiar with fundamentalist Christians. We have fundamentalists everywhere.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
That I am right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in, you're out. And that's where my struggle does come. It's like sandpaper for me. So
I'm looking here, and it says, what if churches were beauty pageant concepts?
Yes.
What was your thoughts there?
My thoughts there, I gave out awards. It was my first round of awards,
okay.
What if churches were beauty pageants. And I talked about, you know, Miss Congeniality, which I believe I gave to the Black Baptists because they were fantastic. And the photogenic and the swimsuit awards went to the Catholic Church because they really have the most beautiful building. So it was a little tongue-in-cheek type of thing.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, I gave out awards.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And then you were talking about UFOs, too, I believe.
Oh, unidentified flying objectors. You'll know about this, Iggy, because you're online. When you put your journey out there, and a journey like this is so personal, but you put it out there for people, and it gets attacked from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who are just, you know, they're nice attackers, or they're, you know, whatever, they're fine.
Sure.
But then there's people who literally fly through cyberspace, and their only intent is to seek and destroy. Those people are the unidentified flying objectors.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
And I had a lot of bombings from them. So
I'm sure. Was that difficult in the beginning when you had
it's
that?
It's still difficult.
Do you find it's a little bit easier, though?
It is easier.
Now that you've got to meet a whole group of people, and you know that, you know, they're right too.
Exactly. They see things from a different perspective. Well,
right.
I'm sure we'll touch on that. But
very good.
I have it's definitely, I have more distance from it.
Mm-hmm.
It still hurts. I don't think it ever stops hurting. Maybe. I don't know. You can tell me. Maybe it does.
I don't know. Everybody's different. So,
yeah.
You know, how we process and how we, you know, engage with people and what they say. Because words could cut.
Well, and I guess I want so much to be able to share the richness of my journey, and for people to just cut it without even, they've never spoken to me, maybe they've, you know, they've read some of my blog, but to just blatantly just cut it and say you're the devil, or you're, you know, leading everyone away from the truth, or what have you, without even really considering, that's hurtful.
Okay. And being maybe a white person yourself, did you have any issues with that?
I did. And most of it was me feeling like I was intruding. We kind of went through that.
Right.
I sometimes felt like I was intruding. And I always stood out in those types of situations, which I was okay with that. But I before I met you, I had contacted a Native American reservation and received what I can only call a racist letter in reply, which was, you're white, we don't want to talk to you. That's the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
After I had explained this whole journey and the depth of it, and they just completely rejected the offering of myself there. So that was difficult.
Maybe that play kind of into your feelings when you were coming to our sweat lodge?
Absolutely.
Sitting in your car and wondering how our response was going to be to you?
Yes. Yes, and I didn't know exactly what, I didn't know if I was wearing or anything, you know, I didn't know, I was, but mostly I was afraid of getting in there, because it seemed very small, and it was, there were a lot of people, and I am slightly claustrophobic.
Okay.
So that was a general fear of just being in a cloistered place.
Well, hold that thought, we're going to take a little break here for 30 seconds, we'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication and resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live here on the World Wide Web in Columbus, Ohio. Find us at Blog Talk Radio or withinsightsradio.com. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440. We're also in the chat room if you're online. You can ask questions or call in. We are moving right along. We're learning about 30 by 30 and 365 days. Our guest here, Reba O'Reilly, is with us, and she's sharing her great experience. I'm kind of empty. A little bit.
Envy.
I'm envy here. I feel like I've not done.
Oh, gosh. Right, right. I have so much to learn from you.
We have a lot to learn from each other. That's the journey. We all have something to give, something to share. So.
That's absolutely true.
When I first met you, it was online, kind of, you know, you were trying to reach out, and I was trying to respond.
I was trying real hard. I was pretty much stalking you.
And and then eventually, I guess I responded back. I'm pretty slow at that, but eventually you ended up here.
I did.
At our home in our, you know, our chapter house, the Condrigo chapter house of the Nemenha, and you finally got the courage to step out to the field. And there were some interesting things that happened.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. Maybe I should. I'll back up to the car. As I mentioned, I've been afraid a lot through this journey. I've dived into a lot of unfamiliar situations. You'd think by now I would be fine with it. Maybe you're never fine with it, but I certainly wasn't fine with it. I'm sitting in my car, panicked that I'm going to have to get into a little sweat lodge with a bunch of people I don't know, not sure what is going on back here. I actually cried. This brought me to the point of tears. And here's what here's what God said, Spirit, to me. You've got through this whole journey. I've gotten you through this whole journey, and I can't get you through a little bit of heat and sweat. And that, you know, it kind of gave me the courage to step out.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to coming here, I did a 30-day fast, and I know we haven't covered that yet, but I did a 30-day fast, and on day 29, I had what I can only call a vision. I definitely had a mystical experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where the divine was revealed to me as a prism. Now, when I say prism, I don't think people get the right image in their mind, so I'm going to make it a little cheaper here, but disco ball, that's what it is. Let's talk about a divine disco ball. That's what I saw. And the revelation there was that everyone sees from their point of view,
mm-hmm.
and they see truth. They just don't see the whole picture, and that's all of us. And this was a huge revelation for me, and it opened up my ability to forgive people who have hurt me and fundamentals just in general. Forgive them before they even talk to me.
Right.
You're seeing your truth. And I can't even tell you how big that revelation was for me, this divine disco ball. And since then, I've been telling people that, and I actually have been calling it the divine disco ball. So right after I get out of the car and I'm, you know, coming back to see you, I'm still like, oh, I can't do this. I can't get into this little sweat lodge. These people are going to hate me. I'm not wearing the right thing. And I round the corner, and there you are, Chief Hoop Watcher, with a disco ball on his blanket altar. Now, to anyone listening, I hope that you can understand that you do not expect a disco ball at a Native American sweat lodge ceremony. And I just threw back my head. Because that was God right there. That was the Spirit. That was divinity saying, "You're here. You're supposed to be here." And he gave it to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I gave the ball to her.
Yeah.
I threw it at her. I said, "This is yours." It's funny because when I opened it up, I saw your face. It was like you caught a glimpse of my disco ball. And I'll tell everybody why I have a disco ball. I don't know. The reason I have a disco ball is because part of my medicine is dancing, and I use that for healing and stuff. And so a friend of mine gave that to me, you know, to remember to keep dancing, to keep smiling and keep shining and whatever. And, you know, like everything in my bundle, eventually it leaves me. It passes on to the next person that needs to use it, or eventually some things come back. And it's always been my biggest talking piece. Those are my little boots in the ball.
You gave me your biggest talking piece?
And so the biggest talking piece there is like, oh, you have a disco ball in your bundle.
Like, yeah, but no one else has ever said, I saw God in that disco ball.
And so, no, your words touched me, and I was like, you know, and I felt Spirit saying, well, you know, you need to pass it on. It's time to move the ball, and because there's a big journey, there's a big message that will continue with that ball.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is, I know it sounds funny, but if you think about the divine or truth or religion as a disco ball, and you imagine yourself standing on one side of the dance floor and somebody else standing on the other, and there's light shining everywhere,
mm-hmm.
they're seeing a disco ball. They're seeing the same thing that you are,
mm-hmm.
but neither of you see exactly the same image. You don't see the same thing.
Right, and when you look into it, it's fractured pieces.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't see yourself. You see everything, and then when light hits it, like you're saying, it just shines on everything. It touches everything. You know, it just spans around.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Thank you again.
Oh, yeah,
for the
absolutely.
Disco ball. It now lives right when I come in the house. It sits there to remind me. But
very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Andrew here says, many people who regress back to the birth canal of the lifetime report similar imagery of the disco ball.
Really,
Andrew?
I think I know this person.
Andrew Bart, he's a friend of ours.
Oh, no, I don't know him. But I like you.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Seriously? People talk about the disco ball?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew can call in. I don't know if he's online now, but Andrew, if you can call in, call in. If not, I understand. But
if not, please get a hold of me and let me know.
Yeah, you know how to find her. She's on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
She's one of my friends. But, yeah, you were talking about a fast, too, before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I did. I went on a fast, a 30-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
And disclaimer, before we discuss it, I do not recommend this type of extreme fast for anyone. Most of all because it's not fun, but secondly, it can be unhealthy if not done properly, and it's certainly not the only way to reach God. So I would like to, that's the disclaimer.
Okay.
However, I was called to do a 30-day fast. Not something I wanted to do. Not something I ever believed I could do, Iggy. And I was kind of told about this by the Spirit in December. And it took me till February to say, okay, all right, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even really understand the full implications of what it was going to do and what it was going to mean, but I said, okay, I'll try. I didn't even say I'll do it.
Is this
I said, I'll
try. Secret project?
That's a super secret project, yeah. Super secret because you cannot bring people into that. Fasting is such a personal thing.
Sure.
It's very hard to do,
mm-hmm.
and you're very raw. Mm-hmm. So to allow people in and any negativity you can. So, yeah, it was a super secret project for 30 days, except my husband and the monk who was overseeing it for me. And I did. I fasted. Did not eat anything for 30 days. I still went to work. I did drink juice. But it was incredible, and it was absolutely horrible. I would like to underscore that point. Physically, it is horrible up to a certain point. But I had to do it, as I found out at the end, because that was the only way that I was going to get from where I was to where I needed to be. It was partially about that, the mystical vision, but it was more about coming into my own calling. You know, for example, Jesus went into the desert. I'm no Jesus.
Right.
But I think at some point, if you're going to embrace the calling that you have, and mine is as a healer and inspirer and a writer and all these things. At some point, you do have to draw away. And that's what I did. I fasted for 30 days.
So is this book completed? Or?
Oh, no. The most important thing for this year was to fix the project.
Mm-hmm.
And writing can actually get in the way sometimes of the experience. So while I have been chronicling it, and I have books full, and I've got tons of Word documents, I have way too many, tons of words,
mm-hmm.
but my goal was to live the experience, not have the experience live me, you know?
Right.
When I'm done, which will be on May 15th, then this is the summer of the book draft. So.
Very good. Very good. Adventures. I'm just looking down here at your categories. Adventure, African American Baptist. Find it really interesting. I'm looking at all your pictures. I saw you wearing something here.
Sorry,
is that you? Okay.
I regret actually that I haven't taken more pictures. now that I'm at the end, I'm like, what the heck was that I thinking? I shouldn't have
followed. It doesn't even look like you.
Maybe I'm prettier in that picture.
Oh, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, let's see if we have any callers. We do have a caller, I believe, here. Callers, hopefully you understand we're actually doing an interview today. So after the show, we'll be doing the readings. But I'll put you on. And if you have a question for our guest, here we go. 3, 2, 1, you're on the air. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, what's your name, caller?
We're having some breaking up.
Yeah, I didn't hear you there.
No.
Yeah, are you there, sir?
Yes. Yeah, question.
Okay. Go ahead.
What is your opinion about?
About faith?
About keeping faith?
Keeping faith. Okay.
Oh, about keeping faith. That's a big question. I'm not exactly sure the direction you're going, but I would say that it is sometimes a lot easier to lose it than it is to keep it. Mm-hmm. I think that keeping faith it requires something of you as a person. And whether it doesn't necessarily require you to be in any type of community, although I think that's great, but it does require you to have a belief and to practice your love in others' lives and others' actions. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, okay. What about in regards to, how would you define
it? How would I define what?
Faith,
I guess.
Oh, faith, okay.
I guess it would be your interpretation of what faith would be.
Well, I think we covered this briefly, but my interpretation of faith is not only just the belief that you have that is important. It is having that belief in action, and that is loving other people. Now, there are many ways that can happen, you know, many ways that you can love others. But for me, faith is not just a belief in God or a belief in the divine. It's what you do with it.
All right, Connor, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate you. Those are good questions, you know.
Those are great questions.
I think everybody goes through life wondering what faith is. And do you ever really lose faith, really? You think it's something that
faith.
You can't really lose?
I think you can try pretty hard to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I sure did.
I mean, you can create a faith to not believe in something as well.
Sure.
That could be your calling card, you know, your mission. To be the reverse and the anti of the things that you believe in.
Yeah, and I guess in one sense, you can't lose faith because you always have to believe something.
Correct.
About life.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't not believe something. But as far as faith, I think in the presence of the divine, the way that we're talking about
mm-hmm.
it, or even, you know, a belief in other people and their divinity, that they will, you know, their inherent goodness, you can change your mind. You can put a pretty heavy lock on that door.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. We're good at that as human beings.
I am particularly good at it. I locked God in my closet for over 8 years, and I'm very glad that he's not in the closet.
All right, let's take another caller here. 480, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name, caller?
My name is Bessie.
Hi, Bessie. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I'm basically kind of, I guess, in a similar thing of finding, I haven't lost faith. I know that there's a higher source and power within my, outside my, greater than myself. It's just how to use, basically, stay spiritual balance when you're getting, as if it's spiritual message or spiritual information, and stay focused.
So staying focused in your faith, or were you saying that you are in losing your faith, or I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand your
no.
question.
No, I'm a spiritual person.
Okay.
I don't believe in labels.
Okay, great.
Basically, that's my thing. I don't like a label because I don't think it defines who I am. So I say I'm a spiritual person. So I'm basically staying focused, but I don't want people, you know, or feeling that I'm going off on the like everything is dark or bad or good.
Oh, well, are you talking about other people's opinion of
right,
your journey?
Right.
Yes, I've got lots of experience with that. lots of experience with that. My brother-in-law once called me Satan. So, yes,
okay, yeah.
I do have experience with that. Here's the first thing I would encourage you in. You have your own journey, and it
mm-hmm.
really doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of it. And this is something I continue to learn on a daily basis, because you have a path, they have a path. They think their path is trying to intersect yours and turn you around, but it's not. Just step over them and keep going.
like that, okay.
I'm serious. Just step over them and keep going. Because they can try to run at you and tackle you and whatever, but that isn't their path, you know?
Right.
You keep going on yours, because eventually, if you're seeking people who will support that path, you will find them. And
okay.
Actually, I feel like you're probably really close to finding them. I would encourage you to seek the spirit about that.
Okay.
And a community doesn't have to be within walls. Community can be even just, you know, one other person or two other people. So I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just step right on over, honey.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for
Thank
calling
you.
In. You're welcome.
Okay.
Well, we're getting close to that 10-minute mark here. So we start to wind down. Is there anything that maybe you want to share with us that I may have not asked, or something that's kind of been on your mind during this interview that you want to share with folks?
Yeah, I want to talk about religion. I want to talk
okay.
about, it's an ugly word for some, a beautiful word for others.
Okay.
It just depends on your point of view, like
mm-hmm.
the disco ball, right?
Right.
Here's what I've learned about religion. Religion is like a language. It is a system. Just like words are a system of being able to categorize the universe, it's their symbols. Religion is full of symbols, and we know that. But if we look at it like it really is a language, and it's something that you can speak. So, for example, I grew up speaking Christianity. I speak it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's my native language, and I really can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that I have, you know, was taught to understand God. So if we say that religion is like a language, can we add to that? Can we take words from other languages and incorporate them into our own? Yeah, we can. It's a fluid thing. It doesn't have to be a closed system. And the other great thing about religion is that once you speak one language, you have these symbols for understanding God. You can transfer that over as you're bringing in other things, and it's easier to learn something else. So religion can be a great thing, because it's a tool. That they're all tools to be able
mm-hmm.
to understand something that we don't inherently understand. The divine is much greater than us. The spirit is much greater. And so as humans, we try to define. You know, that's what we do. And that's, in my opinion, where all of these religions have sprung from, is this inherent dissonance, because you can't put a word to the divine. So we put, rituals to it and rules and all these different things. To try to get ourselves to cross over to the divine, and their tools. And I would just encourage people to look at it like that. That's really helped me. If I see that my friend the Hindu, the tools that they use, the language that they speak is very different, but they're using it to get to the divine.
Right.
So that was a big revelation for me.
Yeah,
thinking of religion as language.
That's a big charge for a lot of people, religion.
Yeah.
Organized or disorganized.
Right. And, well, whether it's organized, disorganized, or you don't feel like you have any at all, the tools that you use to try to reach God, that's what religion really should be.
Very good. Let's see. I think we have any questions here in the chat room. No, just says you sound like Rosa, Andrew said.
Oh, I do?
Yeah,
well,
bit.
She's got a very nice voice.
And
so.
Then I guess he had a question about how many times had you fasted before your 30-day?
Before my 30-day fast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean a handful in my life, and only for, the maximum I think ever was 3 days, and we're talking about 10 years ago. So fasting was not something that I was good at. to say the least.
Very good. All right, folks, let's see if you have any call. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. Get ready to wind down here with the interview. So if you want to ask Rebecca any questions here, please feel free to call in or, you know, put your questions on the chat room too as well if you don't have a phone. So other than that, we'll continue here with the show. We're going to take a little break and we shall return. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. Welcome back. I'm E. Garcia. I'm here live in studio in Columbus, Ohio, with Rebecca Riley from 30 by 30, 365 days, 30 places of worship, one chance to find faith. What happens when a nice girl is committed to this, right? But we've learned a lot today with our guest. She's taken us on this powerful journey, and the best way to get a hold of her, I believe, is 30 by 30.
30by30.com. My email address is rebecca@30by30.com.
Very good. So that would be a good place to start if you have questions for her. I think you have a Facebook as well, right?
I do. It's facebook.com/30by30.
30by30, there you go. Any closing thoughts?
Keep the faith, people. Keep going. If you have had hurt in your past and you think that you can't find God, God is much bigger than the hurt in your past. And he doesn't have to be found using the language or the tools that you previously knew. Go on and do it.
Very good. Would like to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And this part of the show now that we're going to move into is the readings. If you need a reading or want a reading or want to give a reading to Iggy, I'm here. How about, you want to give me a reading?
I want to give you a reading.
Do you think you have one there?
On the R? I have it.
You've had a lot of help.
I have had a lot of help along the way. No, I think I'll wait. I'll give you one, but it's not going to be right now.
Okay.
You could give me one.
That's good. All right.
If there's nobody else in line.
Well, no one's in line, but we'll give you a card. We'll pull out a card.
Sure. Let's do it.
We'll work with my sacred
I feel like giving you a reading would be like trying to read the Buddha or something. I mean, what do you do?
Here we go. Flipping it around. I pull cards, but I never really use the books that come along with it. I intuitively just go with what Spirit asks me to do.
Do you realize I grew up thinking those cards were the devil?
These cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like pieces of paper.
They're cool.
Got the talking stick. Represents viewpoints and options. Wow.
That's
the story of the whole day. I mean, I don't think I need to go any further. I don't think I need to elaborate too much on that one. I think you've kind of figured that one. I guess what Spirit's saying here is just continue your journey.
Right,
it's a good journey.
Right,
you know, and keep sharing with everybody because there's a lot of people out there who are...
I love that.
Who are really, you know, searching. They're looking, you know, and sometimes they think that, you know, there's no hope. And the hope isn't that there isn't hope. The hope is that somebody else may be the hope for you.
Mm.
You know, just because God doesn't manifest in, you know, this magical light doesn't mean that God doesn't manifest in a human being and through someone's word or through someone's smile, through someone's look, someone's gaze, someone's touch. You know, the great Spirit, God, however, whatever you want to call him, manifests himself or her in ways that we can't even imagine.
Sometimes disco balls, Iggy.
Disco balls, even a glass of water.
Glass of water.
You know, I mean, just it's amazing, you know, just how the Spirit is. And I think what Spirit... Well, we're still here. Iggy just got very powerful and blew the circuits on the dashboard.
What's going on with that? It's like the Spirit just gets too much for the headphones.
Yeah. It's funny. I think someone said, read the Buddha. You have to rub his belly.
I promise I will read the Buddha before we go. I got to warm up.
Yeah, let me see if we have any callers on the dashboard here. We do have callers. I think we've already interviewed them. But they have a question, again, a reading. They want a reading. Just if you're in the chat room, just let me know. I'll put you back on. Besides, other than that, I think we're just going to continue forward with what we're doing here. So it's been a good interview. I've enjoyed talking about, you know, your points of view and how you look at it, how you pulled the talking stick, you know. And it's good, you know. I mean, this journey, I mean, you probably at some level at some point knew you were going to take it. You just didn't know how it was going to be expressed. But now you're getting to express it. You get to see different things that other people don't get to see, which is really cool. I like that. I think that's pretty amazing as well, to be there and go, wow, if people can only see what I'm looking at or what I'm experiencing, it's probably really cool.
Yeah, and that's my hope for the book. Still, by the way, if anyone's listening, seeking an agent and a publisher. it's going to happen. It's just a matter of the timing of it. But I hope to bring that back. I hope to be the person who's gone up to the hill and done the work and bring some of it back.
Sure. Were you planning on doing some self-publishing or were
no
you
way. No, it's not the way it's supposed to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's different avenues. I know that I have different friends who actually do publishing and help people publish their books. So we can get you connected and you kind of go with whoever you feel.
Like I said, speaking of representation, but, you know, Spirit really spoke to me at some point during this journey. And like I said, you know, live the experience. I want the experience, live you.
Yeah.
But I'm almost done now, so it's time. So.
Are you really done?
No, never. Never, never will I be done with this. Absolutely not. But
well, I feel like there's going to be a 4 or 5 books, so I don't know.
I'm fairly certain there will be. I already know the second one, if anyone's listening to publish it. But thank you for the talking stick.
Oh,
everything that's happened here, I have a lot to learn from me. I would just like to say that from the Buddha here.
Yeah, my little Buddha.
Rubber salad.
Yeah, I was. There was one question. One of your things you were talking about stadium worship.
Oh yeah, stadium worship.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people got triggered by TiVo during
they
the football
did.
Season.
They did.
You know, there was a big. I don't know.
It's a big to do.
Yeah. Take us there. I'm curious.
Well, it was an honor of TiVo, but I don't know if this is going to be in the book yet, but there is nothing like sports worship.
Mm-hmm.
And people who aren't even religious at all, who wouldn't call themselves religious, are religious nuts about the Buckeyes, no pun intended, or whatever their home team is. And I was in the stadium, and you got to remember, I've been doing this for, you know, 6 months now, so I have this sort of, like, eye, like, I'm looking for what are their rituals, and what are their, blah, blah, you know, who are their priests, and I'm sitting there going, I had to sit down, because I was like, this is a religion if I have ever seen it, and it's religion on a massive scale. And so, I mean, that article is a little tongue-in-cheek, as a lot of mine are.
Right.
But I saw a Buckeye rosary. Do you see the picture there?
No, I see.
There's a picture in there of a Buckeye rosary. Nothing wrong with a Buckeye rosary, but, I mean, what are we praying for the Buckeyes? Like, we have everything. The rituals involve beer, but they're still rituals,
right.
And they're very sacred.
Sure.
We have people, and part of what I wrote about in there, and I'd love it if, you know, people read this because it really puts it in a perspective, is what if people treated their religion, their actual religion, like they treat football?
Oh, wow.
Okay? Who of us would drive 4 hours in the early morning to park and walk 2 miles to some kind of tailgate, and then you spend it's not tailgate at a church, you would spend that entire day and the night, perhaps, at church. And who among us would spend 4 hours listening to a preacher in a stadium or singing or whatever in the hot sun or the rain or the cold or the snow or all of the above? We do that. We do this for teams that we love. And so I am actually in the midst of talking with some people who are much more knowledgeable in religion than me, doctors and so on, about how is sports religion. So I think I can make a pretty good case for including that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting that you bring that up. you know, a lot of people do spend a lot of energy, a lot of time in sports.
A lot. Well, it's, you know, I mean, there really is worship going on.
Oh, there is. I mean, sometimes, because, you know, they're, to be honest with you, they are actually praying. I've seen it on TV.
Of course people are
praying.
I've caught
myself going, oh, God.
Oh, I pray too. I mean, it's natural. But it's like, you look at that and the energy that's there and just the utter devotion. Another thing I said is, what if you went into your friend's new house and the whole basement, he's got 1,000 square feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chapel. He's turned his basement into a chapel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go back and be like, this guy got a little bit of a screw loose. What's he doing down there in the basement?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Buckeye basement? How many of them are there here in Columbus?
Yeah, my brother has one.
Yeah, Shrine. We'll have one someday, too. It's just, it's a matter of, we're triple Buckeyes in our family. We'll have one someday, too. But it, the idea that, you know, people who don't even think that they worship do. The other question becomes, if you're not worshiping something, what are you worshiping?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I think sports does fill that gap for people, and sometimes, really, a need to believe in something beyond themselves. Why do we really care? Why do we really care whether Ohio State wins or loses? Is it fun? Absolutely. But we feel like we're part of something that's greater than ourselves.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that people, if they have the opportunity to worship whatever they believe in the way that they do in a football game, they would be doing it? Or do you think just because the church says, or the religion says, no, we have to do it like this?
I mean, I thought, like, in an actual, like, if they could go to a stadium all day and worship?
You know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, they go to watch a bunch of guys beat the heck out of each other,
right?
And one guy's going down there, he's like moving chess pieces. But do you think if people would actually want to worship that way, say Jesus per se, we'll use him as an example, in that same form?
Well, I've been part of many a Pentecostal and charismatic prayer meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we were there for 4 hours at a time, worshiping,
mm-hmm.
singing, the emotion of it. So I think, and I mean, out here, we were out here for a blood ceremony. I mean,
mm-hmm.
how many hours were we here?
About 4 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it depends on the way that you worship. Now, no offense to our Catholic and Lutheran and Episcopalian friends out there, but Your services are very regimented. I don't think that you're going to stay for 4 hours. But
I worship 20 minutes, 25 minutes. 25 minutes or 30. If it was 30, we were like, oh, God.
I think it's a matter of how, you know, how does it emotionally affect you? And sports emotionally affects people. What we did out here emotionally affects you.
Yeah.
Charismatic Pentecostal services emotionally affect you.
I've been to.
Yeah, and there's a lot there. You can get a major emotional hangover from going to a Pentecostal prayer meeting.
Yeah, I went to one. It was pretty intense.
They're very intense, very intense. So, I don't know. What do you think?
It's funny that you said that, because if you ask my wife, she'd be the first one to tell you that I went to different churches just to kind of, you know, check them out, you know, see what it's like, because I was never happy with the one I was in. I was never, something was, there was always an element missing. It was something that I didn't resonate with me. And I ended up going, you know, the whole circle back to where I began, you know, looking at myself, well, geez, I'm right back to the Catholic Church, but that's not where I'm at. So I went back into my, actually went into my lineage, my history of who, where I came from and who I am and who my people were and who my ancestors were, and that's how I ended up on my Native American path, you know, studying the ways of, you know, my ancestors, and that's been really good for me, personally, for me.
Yeah.
And that's how, so I had my own little journey, per se. Not as big as yours, but, you know.
Oh, Iggy. It
was
everyone's journey is as big as mine.
And, you know, it's funny, my wife would sit there go, why are we here?
What are we doing?
Well, we're checking it out, you know. Got to check it out before, you know. It's like in test driving a car almost, you know. You're not going to, you can drive
like
a Chevy.
I like that. I'm going to steal that from you. Test driving religion. That's what I did.
You know, just like driving a Chevy. You want a Chevy? You want a Cadillac?
Yeah,
which one's the Cadillac? The point is, which one is the Cadillac? Which one is the Chevy, which one is the pickup truck, you know? Because I don't think you can put it that label on something, because it, for some people, like you said earlier, their religion is very powerful. It's very special to them.
Right. Yeah.
Just because it's not for me,
doesn't mean it's not for them. Now, that's a big learning point. It's a big learning point. Just because it's not for me doesn't mean it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what about Catholicism did fit you?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just when because it's so many things, you know. It was just like, it was more about the judgments and the feelings I had, and, you know, it was just so dark. Something was dark about it that I didn't like, and I think maybe just growing up, and it was one of the reasons I didn't want to be part of it. And then my parents stopped going, so it was one of those things. Well, it's kind of a family thing, but now my family's not in it. But then I married my wife, and she's a Protestant, so it's a whole different, you know, different outlook on life. I remember when I went to her church, and I'm like, I'm ready for communion, you know? Hey,
oh.
I'm ready for communion. And she's like, oh, well, we have communion once a month. I'm like, what? She goes, well, we don't, you know, I don't know. Their excuse was they want to cheapen it or whatever. I was like, well, you know, we celebrate every day. The Catholics celebrate every day, you know. We have to remember Christ, you know. And, but, you know, it was just one of those things. I just kind of went away from it. And a lot of it was just, well, it was more about the people than it was the church itself.
So are you a recovering Catholic?
I don't know if I'm recovering or not.
You're recovering.
Or rediscovering.
You're recovered?
Yeah. I'm healed.
You're healed.
No, but what I find is, you know, in the way of why I live now is we don't dictate people's belief system. So if you're Catholic and you're, you know, married, we don't tell you, oh, yeah, you can't be, you know. Or, but, you know, I still, from time to time, will go to a different church or something. But I'm so happy where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so happy, you know, being out in nature and being in my sweat lodge and hanging out with my friends. And I don't know. I don't believe that, me personally, that religion, I believe that God's everything. It's everywhere.
Everywhere, right.
And so God understands me better than anybody would ever. You know, so why do I really need to go into a room once a week where I'm already on the earth every day expressing how I feel about my Creator, you know, and that creation? But that's me. You know, that's just how I am. That's my way of looking at life. And I also believe that church controls people too. That was one of the big things for me. It was a big control factor, you know, economically, spiritually, you know, physically. Because I learned a lot. I asked a lot of questions when I was in Catholic school.
Did they kick and you out?
No, they kicked me out, class? But you know what? They were scared.
Me too.
Well, you know what? You know, but it always made sense, though. I would say, well, what about Noah's Ark, you know, this and that. Well, it was just a flood in a small region. But then I go to another church, it was flood. But the Catholics believe, no, it was just a real small region that got flooded and people, you know, so it was a whole different, I'm like, that's where I was like, somebody's not telling me anything. I'm not getting anything, you know. So if they're not going to tell me, then I'm going to go discover, you know, my spirituality on my own and how I feel it works for me. So that's what I did for myself.
How long ago was that? When did you start your
My journey started when I was about, I'd have to say 39 or 40. I got to the point where I was like, wow, I you know, there's got to be more than this. Something's missing. Something was felt missing. I just felt like it was a void. Like there was no, it didn't make sense. You know, God can't put these parameters on us. Why would he say to people to do this or do that? If he's a loving God, a caring God, you know, because if he's a caring God, loving God, why would he punish his people? Why would he punish his kids? I mean, I know kids do things, you know, but I don't want a God like that.
Well, that's a big part of why I left. The theology is very hurtful, or can be, if you think about it that way. And I couldn't worship a God like that. That was my big issue. I couldn't worship a God like that.
And, you know, the biggest epiphany I had was when I actually went to Vision Quest, which was within the 7-year period that I've been doing my Native American stuff. That was actually the opening, more opening for me. This was about 5 years ago. And I sat there and was in a sweat lodge for 3 days without food and water and experiencing, you know, whatever happened. Only got to drink a concoction they gave me and all the different tasks they gave me to do. And all the animals that I met and all the creatures and the sounds that I had to hear and all the, you know, things that I thought I was seeing or feeling. And eventually I got to stack the wood, got to, you know, put the hay on top of the sweat lodge. And then I had to build a little fire out of little sticks. I had to take a whole bucket, fill it all day long. And that was my fire for the day. And I put it on top of a log, and it was burning nice. And the chief came and goes, how are you keeping your fire so strong? And I put it on the log. And he goes, oh, you're not supposed to put it on the log. That's what he didn't tell me. So. So I didn't really cheat. It was just the way, you know, spirit, you know, knew But I remember the second night I was kind of like really freaked out, so I slept in my truck. But I was still outside in the campground all by myself in this open wilderness. And I remember all the ticks being on me and having to pull them off, you know, just because of the timing that I went down there. But it was, I have it recorded. I've recorded it, most of it, you know, the things I was saying and doing. And I had visions of things that happened, things that potentially could happen. But what the biggest thing that I learned was I ran away from the things that I thought were holding me back, but I was also missing those people and those things that, you know, were in my life.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to go back and go, wow, I missed that, you know. I had to go away to figure out that I missed that.
Are you familiar with the theory of, I don't know exactly what it's called, it's a lot of different things, of a circle where you go around, you end up in the same place, but you're not the same.
Yeah, oh, I'm not the same.
Right.
Well,
And well, that's the path that I've walked, sort of ended
yeah.
up in the same
yeah,
area.
Yeah, I came back circle. Then when I came back to the beginning, I gained a lot, learned a lot about myself mostly, and how I look at people and how I perceive people. It's all my perceptions that I put upon them and the judgments I put upon them and situations. And so that was one of the biggest eye-openers for me. And I remember the last day, I was like getting really, really like, because I had another day to go, but I just couldn't. And so I heard this bird outside, this hawk, or I don't know what it was. It was just a big bird. It made this biggest screech. It just flew over in the shadow, like flew over top of me. And I knew it was time to go. Hopped in my truck, went to the chief's house, and they made me these potato pancakes and homemade applesauce. Because they didn't want me to run off to McDonald's or something.
Yeah, I'm a real greasy bird.
The next day I did. I saw Burger King. I was like,
gotta have it.
That was the best freaking cheeseburger I ever had.
I think people should stop eating just so they can start eating again. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like eating after you haven't eaten.
Yeah.
I have to ask you then, I know I talked about how my theory is sort of like religions as languages. If you grew up Catholic, that would be what I would term like your native language. That's like what you grew up to understand God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me, or can
absolutely.
You add something?
It's
you
absolutely.
Add something to my theory?
It's absolutely, I believe it's a language. I absolutely believe it's a way of communicating, just like numbers are. Religion's a way for people to associate, something to they can a belonging, something that they're affiliated with. So when you say it's a language, yeah, of course, because I have friends who are Muslims. And, you know, it's interesting when you ask them, they're like, I will ask them a question. I said, oh, you know, your religion is really interesting. I said, when I tell them that, I don't necessarily not believe or do believe that Jesus was really a person. They're like, oh, really, you don't believe in Jesus? I said, I never said that. I said, I believe he's my brother. You know, I believe he's part of us. You know, he's been given to us, you know, as a gift. But Jesus is our brother. If he's our brother, then we're all children of God. So there's a similarity. So religion is a language, and it's how you learn the language. And breaking down the language and learning other languages makes it difficult, because then what happens is judgment comes in. And then you start to go, well, I don't know. They said this, you know, or they say that. But they acknowledge Jesus. You know, they acknowledge him, and they say, well, you know, he was a great prophet. You know, he was biblical. He's historically there. You know, I'm like, okay. So it's really interesting, you know, when you're listening to their language, how they express their beliefs. But when you tell them, I tell most people that I'm more spiritual. I have a spiritual aspect about myself than I do a more religious aspect.
Yeah.
There's a difference between my opinion. Spirituality and religion. It's a big difference.
Well, religion, that's a really good point, because I think if we talk about religion as the language, then maybe spirituality is what you're trying to represent with the language.
You know,
do you think?
It depends how you look at it. You know, for me, spirituality is much more than religion. It transcends that.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
My spirituality, the religion I grew up in could never touch the spiritual aspects of my life that I've encountered and learned and experienced. The only thing they could probably say to me is, well, you know what, you're a little off. Well, you know, and their belief, and their own God-given right, that's their belief system, and I honor that. That's the thing I learned, is to allow people their beliefs.
Yeah.
And I never, and don't ever try to say, hey, you know what, you're wrong, and this is right. Because you know what, as soon as I say that, I'm judging myself. I'm not judging them. I'm actually... they're mirroring back to me. And so if I say, hey, you're cool, that means I'm cool. That means that what I believe in is correct. They can never say, you know, oh, Iggy, you're wrong. No one's ever told me that. So So I've never had those issues.
Oh, very lucky.
So, you know, because I'm fortunate, you know,
yeah.
that I don't go around professing anything. I don't go around saying, well, I'm the great chief, I'm the shaman, I'm the medicine man. Because when you do that, then you just open yourself up for a lot of attack. And when people need you or want to find you, and you're, like in my medicine, the work I do, the right people find you. It's always correct. Whenever a spirit says, this is where they need to be, this is who you need to see. And that's what's so cool about it. That's what I've learned about the path I'm on is so cool, is because I don't really need to go out and look for anything. Everything that I want is already here. It's in front of me. It's around me. And I give knowledge, and I acknowledge everything. And it makes it a lot more powerful for me. People can be falling apart around me, and I'm all right. It's crazy. They're like, well, don't you feel it? I'm like, I'm okay. You're falling apart. I mean, I'm sorry you're falling apart. But let's see what we can do to get you back on track or something,
yeah.
Whatever you want. I don't know. I'm not so complicated. I look complicated from the outside, but I'm really, really easygoing and fun. Fun-loving guy. I'm the Buddha, right?
Yeah, the
Rubber Belly.
I guess what I was saying is if spirituality is the whole thing, the spiritual, religion is what we're doing to try to understand it. That's where
sure.
I was going with that.
Sure.
It's like it's not ever going to be complete, just like a language isn't. You can tell people all you want. You can read about what it's like to go to an Amish farm. Or the Taj Mahal or whatever. But once you get there, you have the experience. That's the reality of the experience,
mm-hmm.
not the words about it. And
right.
so I guess maybe that's where I think the religion and spirituality may intersect, is spirituality, or is spiritual, is the experience. Is the
and time. What you're seeing, too, is just the surface of that religion, of that way of life, because it goes deeper. Because you said earlier it was community. So within
community.
That community, it goes even much deeper. The ties that keep everybody together is a common bond, and that bond is that
spirit.
Particular spirit, yeah.
Yeah.
How they engage in spirit. Because I believe everybody's spiritual. Everybody has something that they believe in. Even an atheist who doesn't believe in anything, has to hold on to that belief of nothing, which is actually probably more powerful to hold on to that than to hold on to something that is, you know, creating everything. To say there's nothing out there is very big. You know, it took me a long time to figure that out, but to hold on to something that says, well, there's nothing, we just die and go in the dirt. That's pretty powerful. That's a powerful statement.
It is a very powerful statement. Although I will tell you, from my time with the atheists, not all of them, but several of them, said to me,
mm-hmm.
I'll be happy if I'm wrong.
And why would anybody say that?
I'd have to ask them.
You know,
it's
an interesting paradox. You know,
I'm
happy that I'm wrong.
Happy to be wrong.
I'd be happy to be wrong.
If there is indeed something after this, I'd be happy to be wrong. But I cannot see it here in the here and now. I can't see it. And there are people whose minds that's not what they see. It's not their truth. And this is a hard one for me to get over, because people asked me when you started, did you actually start from nothing? Like you said, maybe I don't believe in God. And I said, that's one thing I never did. It was never a question of, is there something? It was more like, what is there and how can I relate to it? So.
Yeah, it's funny because even though I've gone through different, you know, religions myself and studying and wanted to be priest or be this or that, I ended up knowing one thing, that God is love. And that love never ends. That doesn't stop. You may stop, you know, some level of giving back to it. That God never, the spirit, the great spirit, whatever you want to call it, never, ever, ever quits. Never gives up on you. Never goes away. And that's why I was posed this question just recently. Oh, God took my mother. You know, this person said God took my mom. I said, well, yeah, you know, I don't know if he took your mom. I don't believe that. I believe that your mom at some level was ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, she was ready to transition. So, you know, God embraced her and accepted her. I believe it's crazy. It is. God loves all his children. You know, is there a judgment? People say there's a judgment day. I don't know. It's kind of like the atheists would say, you know. I would say, no, there is no judgment. I think God will actually say, hey, you know what? I'm part of you, experiencing the world and experiencing this planet, you know, and that was part of it. It's different. It's a different way of looking at things. But I think God will forgive everybody, even to the worst. I mean, I really believe that. I don't know why. But spiritually, deep down inside, I believe that, you know, it's just something that's part of this journey. That consciously, a mass consciousness, we have to somehow shift that love vibration to do the things correctly or properly, you know. And that's even my judgment, you know, putting on it. But I believe that as human beings, we are more powerful than we can ever imagine. Just because we're part of that creation, we can create so much. We can make so much dysfunction as well. And that's creation, too, to make dysfunction, you know, perceived dysfunction. So in my opinion, I believe God loves everything and everything we do, regardless what. He's like a big dad watching us, you know, fumble around. And, you know, he understands that some of us will go this path and do this thing and worship him this way. But none of them's wrong. You know, in his opinion, he's like, well, at least they're worshiping, they're acknowledging that, you know, there's something bigger than them. And I do believe that there's something much more bigger than us, huge, it's amazing, and it's powerful. And we're just a splinter of that belief from that creation. When the whatever happened, that big boom, whatever you want to call it, parts of God just shattered all over the universe. And that's kind of where I come from in my belief system.
Well, you'll like my word then that I started with. I couldn't really say God because it was too loaded for me. I thought of all kinds of different things. So I made up my own word, which was God-averse, God in the universe.
Oh, okay.
I still refer to it, but if I say that like without explaining it, people think it's a little strange. So I say God for commonality of experience, but the God-averse is what I choose.
Yeah, because, you know, you probably, like I do, run into people who don't like the word God, or maybe they think God's feminine, or God
sure.
is masculine.
I believe we just...
I don't believe God, man or female.
English, you got to pick one. You got to pick
in
one.
English, yeah, in English.
You know, if you're going to say a personal beat, it doesn't quite cover it. So
right,
you
got
to pick one or the other. I find in my mind that I tend to go back and forth that he is the language that I was taught.
It's so the language.
It's the language.
That language you were talking about earlier.
He is the language.
He.
Do I think God is a he? No.
Maybe in my rose-colored glasses that I have on, it just seems that way. It feels right for me.
Yeah, well, it's the language that you're taught. And if you were, you know, brought up somewhere else to see the divine feminine and God is a woman, that's what you would say.
You know, for me, God is everything.
Everywhere.
So
the
you're God,
God
I'm God. I'm God-verse.
God-averse.
But, you know, I also had problems with the word God for some reason when I did some of my teachings because I could see people's faces just like get really weird when I would say God.
Well, yeah, because it's an extremely loaded word, just like church or anything. But God is even more loaded than anything.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The word God is just this huge thing. And I'm like, I struggled with it. Like I said, I had to kind of make up my own words just to be able to relate at the beginning. So.
Yeah, I just say straight universe now.
And universe?
Yeah, you know, for me, the universe is, you know, if you don't understand what that means, then I have to explain to you, that's fine. But usually most people get what I'm saying. They just say, oh, the universe. Just, you know, we're part of
so,
that.
So, do you believe in a personal God?
A personal God?
This is a question I've been asked recently. A personal God.
As in the fact that something personal, like someone sitting across the table from me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never really thought about that. Never thought about just a personal God. I just understand that God, for me... It's not like this big wish list guy, you know. If I need something, you know, it doesn't just pop up. For me, the universe is this thing. When you put it out there, it will manifest things according to how the universe believes in you. So it may not be the big red car, but it may be something, you know, helping someone else obtain something or working for something. It's really, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I think that God listens to you constantly. It never stops. So as soon as you say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, it's like, okay, no, all right, no. Because God's not like us. God's not like with all our, you know, quirks and craziness and stuff that gets in our head, you know. But sometimes I wonder about that, if God is like that. So you proposed that question.
So someone proposed that question to me, yeah. And I said, I guess I believe in a personal God in as much as I experience a personal God, because I do.
Mm-hmm.
I speak with God. This is and multiple times. I mean, this is all. It's like a constant type of conversation if I'm open to listening.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I have personal God because we talk.
Yeah.
You know? But the nature of it, do I believe? You know, it is this or it is that. I stay away from that.
Yeah. You know, when I think of God, I just look around. I don't even think. I mean, if you think it's personal, all I got to do is look outside. That's about as personal as it gets for me. You know, I'll talk. You know, I find myself.
Hear it. Well,
yeah, I hear
you
it.
You hear from
me.
Spirit. You hear. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear it, and I, you know, it touches me in different ways. It's not one way.
Well, that's yeah. I guess when I say we talk, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying
yeah.
I have communication with the spirit, and always have. So.
Sure. I totally get that.
So yeah, I guess that. I don't know. It was an interesting question. So
no, when I think of personal, I think of like something next to me, and I
like,
take it around with me. You know,
yeah,
I don't look at God or this, you know, little archangel next to me. You know, just I believe God's with me all the time. I never believe him. You know, I'm blessed. I feel like I'm blessed. So I really don't complain about a lot of things. You know, I do complain, but not about a lot of things. Just I don't know. God has just been good to me. So that's the way I look at it. I'm able to do this show and express and talk about these things, and that's God doing his work and ministering his, you know, his magic through all of us. And I don't know. You know, God's in the phone. For me, God's on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how I am.
Everywhere.
Yeah. God's in my drink. God's in, you know. We helped create part of that, you know, but he gave us those thoughts. He gave us that. You know, we have free will. They talk about free will and stuff. But it's, and I guess we'll have to talk about it in another show.
Yeah, we're out of time. Here, we're just chatting like the show's going to last for 4 hours.
Yeah, we got like 2 minutes to go, but, you know.
I got to read you.
Yeah, 2 minutes to read.
Give me the card. Disclaimer, I have never done this before.
Right. Well, not in this life. Where I come from, not in this life.
Oh, not in this life, I haven't done this before. I'm not even very good at shuffling cards, so... Great universe, oh mine. We have the smoke signals card.
Ooh.
I like that.
Very good. Intense.
Very. And being that I'm speaking with my personal Indian chief here.
Yeah. Energy follows intent.
Energy follows intent. The intent card. Well, may we co-create with the power of intention.
Okay,
yeah?
Sounds good. Absolutely. We'll close with that. Okay, I want to thank everybody for... in it today, and it's been an interesting journey, and you have to reflect and think back about things. You know, if you want to listen to the show, it will be archived after, so hopefully we can have Rebecca back on at a later date, maybe after she has her book, or maybe before that. Maybe she'll run into something that, maybe she'll have her own show on with Insights. We don't know. You know, we don't know what the Great Spirit has in hold for us. So with that, it's the end of the world as we know. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that segment there with Reba Riley, my friend. She brought a lot of information, brought a lot of stuff to this 2-hour show there about how she saw religion, how she experienced religion, how she got to experience those different denominations, philosophies, different ways of worshiping. But in the end, it boils down to how you see the world yourself and how you are empowered or how you are motivated and moved to express, you know, the thing that you call God, the thing that you call creator, the thing that you call the universe, the thing that you call whatever you call it. I mean, it's a personal relationship. When she asked me the question, do I have a personal relationship with God? I think we all have a personal relationship with God, but it's in our own magical way. It's in our own way that we can't sometimes explain. For some people, God is my buddy right next to me. Every person who shows up and manifests themselves in front of me is a personal relationship with God. So a personal relationship, yeah, sometimes I can't have a personal relationship with myself. You know, so it's good to know that there are some magical angels, that there are some good energies that flow through there, that the universe has manifested, that we help manifest that, and that we have that opportunity for us. So I'm really excited about that. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you got something out of it. like I said, we're going to catch up with her probably in March sometime, right before her book launches and before it starts to go out to stores, and she'll get a copy. She'll be able to, we'll see where she's at. We can compare notes then and kind of say, hey, this is where you were before, and this is where, maybe I'll take some cuts from her this interview and use them and play them for her and see if she remembers what she said. So, but either way, it's neither here or there. But, you know, I hope you had a good time tonight. I'm going to wish good luck to my Bucks. That's another, which you talked about that on the show. That's why I put it on. That, you know, sports can be a religion for some people. It can be very fanatical. It can be very, very serious business. So, you know, enjoy the rest of this winter. We'll be back next week. And we'll be back with our regular program show. And so I will talk to you guys later. All right. Love you very much and take care. And you know what? Just enjoy the game tonight. Don't take it too serious. Just relax. For those of you who watch it. And see you next week. And it's the end of the world as we know it.